Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms and Psalm 103? The book of Psalms and Psalm 103, and with the Lord's help, we might consider together verses 17 and 18. Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18. For the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The gospel. What is it? It is God's covenant of peace. It is God's peace treaty, which he sets forth before sinful rebels like you and I, saying, "These are the terms and conditions upon which I will be at peace with you. I will be at one with you. I, the great sovereign of the universe, will accept you rather than condemning you as you deserve for your sins." Here is a wonderful display of God's mercy and his gracious provision for sinners. As a king would conquer a nation and then set before them a peace treaty saying, "Look, I will protect you and look after you so long as you obey my rules and are loyal to me." So in the gospel, that essentially is what God does. He sets before you a peace treaty offering life and salvation for all who will sign up to that peace treaty, who will embrace that covenant. And so a few weeks ago we noticed how Isaiah could say, or rather God says through Isaiah in chapter 55, "Incline your ear, come unto me, hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." You are held deserving sinner, that the God of the universe would could justly and rightly condemn without any further process. He says, "Look, here is the way by which I will gladly be at peace with you. Embrace that way and walk in my commandments." Friend, what have you done with that covenant which has been read so often to you over the years? What have you done with it? Have you embraced it? Have you bowed the knee before King Jesus and you said, "I will have him as my covenant king. I will have him as my saviour. I will look to the Holy Spirit to help me through life. And I will walk in the ways of God." Friend, you're in dangerous ground. If still you're opposing the eternal God, your maker and sustainer, but a judgment will come upon you if you remain out of covenant with him. Well, the believer is one who is in covenant with God. Last Sabbath morning we saw the character of those who are in covenant with God. The mercy of the Lord, who is it to? It is to them that fear him. It's to those who are holy of God. They don't say, "I'll seek forgiveness, but I don't care how I live." Oh no, they say, "I want forgiveness, and I want to be holy to please God, because that is right." They fear God with a holy, loving fear. Not only that, they are faithful to his covenant, because it is the mercy of the Lord is to them that fear him, and to such as keep his covenant, to those who love that way of salvation, and to those who say, "I'll keep the 10 words of that covenant, the 10 commandments, that will be the way which shows me how to live, and I want to keep his law." We saw also that God's people who are in covenant with them are frail before God. They know their weakness, but they look to God to help them. And you see, there's comfort for those who keep covenant with God. Because who is our God? He is compassionate. He is merciful. He is the one who is righteous. He's faithful to his covenant. He's the sovereign Lord. You know, if he's your king, you don't really need to worry. Because he's in charge of everything. And he will uphold and protect and keep his people. What a blessing. Friend, are you in covenant with God through Jesus Christ today? Rejoice and give thanks. What a blessed people you are. But there's an added comfort in God's covenant. It is that not only are believers in covenant with God, the children of believers are in covenant with God as well. What a wonderful truth. That's what the psalmist tells us here. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. What a precious truth. But also, as we'll see, what a demanding truth, because it lays demands on you and me. Let's notice then three things. First of all, God's covenant includes believers' children. And then secondly, God's covenant confers privileges on believers' children. And then thirdly, God's covenant makes demands on believers and their children. First of all, it's good for us to remember that God's covenant includes believers' children. Friends, this is a scriptural truth. Now, there are those who deny it. But if you look at Scripture, it's very clear. You'll notice how even the words mercy and truth and righteousness are used in the words of our text. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Now, if you examine Scripture, you find the words mercy and righteousness are often associated with the word covenant, as you've got here in verse 18, to such as keep his covenant. And so, for example, in Micah 7 at the end of the book, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the righteousness and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. What was that truth? What was that mercy? It was the truth and the promises of God's covenant. And the psalmist is telling us, it extends to children and even to children's children. And so what do we find in Genesis? The Lord said to Abraham that he was to circumcise not only himself, but his offspring, and that he would establish his covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in all generations. Here was a peace treaty, which wasn't just for Abraham, but was for Abraham and his children. And so, the Lord Jesus could say, don't keep the little ones away, suffer them to come unto me, permitted, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. They're within the kingdom of heaven. They're within God's kingdom. They're within the kingdom of those who are in covenant with God. Now think of it. If a king makes conquest of a nation, and he then says, look, I'll be at peace with you so long as you behave yourself, pay your taxes, do what I tell you to do, and you sign up to it, when the children come along, are they not expected to do the same sort of thing? They're treated as those who are now under this king. That's what God does. He comes. And so the promise of salvation in Acts 2 is not only unto you, but unto your children, and to as many as are far off, even to as many that believe. That's why you find in the New Testament whole households were baptized. The father or mother come to faith in Christ, and there's a household baptism. They're all viewed as part of this kingdom, part of this church, in covenant with God. Therefore God can say, your children are holy. They are set apart to be mine. And there's no hint that a child's position in the New Testament age is any less than that in the Old Testament age. Friends, we should remember that our children are in covenant with God, and that they are part of the visible church, and that to them belongs many privileges and blessings. It's a scriptural truth. And if you remember the idea of God's covenant as being like a peace treaty between God and his people and their children after him, then you'll see quite clearly our children are viewed as part of his kingdom. Friends, is that not a merciful truth? God had no need to provide a peace treaty in the first place. He could have condemned you and cast you into a lost eternity, into hell itself, and you could never complain, because it would be righteous and just of God to deal with you like that for each and every one of your sins. What a gracious provision he has made to provide a peace treaty through his Son. To give his Son to die as a ransom for many. What a merciful truth. And you see how gracious he is. He extends it to our little children and our children who are now growing up. He extends it to them. He doesn't leave them out. He doesn't forget about them. Those precious gifts that he has given you. He extends that, his peace treaty to them. He does not forget them. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, to children's children. And friend, what a comfort. Sometimes little ones don't live. And anyone who has been in that experience of having a close little one who has passed away knows the bitterness, the heart, how hard it is. But what a comfort when you remember the promise of salvation is to you and to your children. What did David say? When his little one died after the affair with Bathsheba, he will not come to me, but I will go to him. And God's covenant, what a merciful, comforting provision. A little one. And there is encouragement in God's covenant to have hope. What a comfort that you can look upon your children, your grandchildren, who are in covenant with God, and you can say, these are the Lord's children. They belong to him. They are his. And you can commit them into his care and keeping with confidence, knowing that they don't belong to another family, but are part of the family of God, or to, who are to grow up into faith in the Lord. And you can commit them to him for safekeeping. Oh, what a mercy to know God has an interest in those children. A merciful truth to encourage you, to encourage your youngsters, to trust in Christ. You're near to His grace, you young ones. God comes to you, and He offers grace and salvation in the gospel. Oh, embrace it while you're young. Don't be like so many who foolish you rebel, and then they spend so long afterwards regretting they had wasted their days rather than serving King Jesus. Here's a scriptural truth, a merciful truth, indeed it's a righteous truth. That is, here's God who has voluntarily laid Himself under obligation in the covenant to be the God of us and to our children. Think of it, the God who is not bounded by rules and regulations, whose decree and what he will have is the law, who makes the law. He's the lawgiver, who's not bound by the law as such. He decides what the law is. And yet what has He done? He has bound Himself under obligation. We could say, as it were, with reverence, He's a co-signatory to that peace treaty. He's bound Himself under obligation to be our God and the God of our children. And yes, there are times when often you feel you've been unfaithful. Anyone here with children today will say that. Oh, how often I have been unfaithful to those covenant promises. Friend, what a comfort to know that though often you have failed Him, and failed Him even with regard to your children and your children's children, yet God's promises continue. And He will show His mercy from everlasting to everlasting, even to such as keep His covenant and walk in His ways. Is that not what the psalmist spoke of in Psalm 89? He had his view of the possibility of some of the kings who followed David rebelling. Did that mean the end of God's promises? Did that mean the Messiah would not come? No. The covenant would remain firm. It would stand sure. And we know that was true, because Christ came. You see, He is faithful. What a wonderful covenant. And it flows down to our children and to our children's children. Well, notice secondly, God's covenant confers privileges on believers' children. Friends, is it not an honour to belong to God? You see, God's people are separated to be the Lord's. They've become followers of God. They have been separated unto God. They are sanctified. They have been renewed and washed with the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, and they are holy unto the Lord. The people of God are a holy nation unto God. The believer is holy. And so is his child. What does Paul tell us in 1 Corinthians 7:14? Maybe it's the case of a husband or a wife who's a believer and the other isn't. The unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife. Or the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the Lord. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they're holy. They're separated to belong to God. They're My people. Now think of what an honour that is. To belong to God. How many people love to make it known that they are connected in some way to important people? It might be a relationship to a footballer, a pop star, something like that. Maybe a relationship to somebody who is one of the high and mighty of the world, a politician. And they would think, well, what an honour. And it makes me someone important to be connected with them. Or an honour to be part of a great nation. There was a day when Britain wasn't just called Great Britain, but it was one of, if not the strongest and most influential nations in the world. And to be British, well, people were proud of being British. What an honour to be part of a great nation. Think of those who perhaps were in the colonies these days, were allowed to become British citizens. What an honour they would think. At least that's the way it was one day. But friend, is it not a greater honour to be a citizen of the kingdom of God? And even to be outwardly part of the church? A great, great honour. Greater than being connected to the great kingdoms of this world. Think of Americans, they're very proud of their country. But oh, to be within the church. What an honour. Friend, you should think of things that way. What a glorious kingdom the church of God is. Let us never think lightly of being part of that church. Remember the great privilege of being brought up within the church. What a privilege to be connected to the King of the universe, and to say He is my God. Not only that, have you not the privileges of the opportunity to be under the gospel of God? We read Romans 2, and it speaks of circumcision, which was a sign and seal of this covenant in the Old Testament day. And yes, it speaks of how at times people didn't live up to their privileges. And Paul ends up asking the question, what advantage was it being a Jew? Indeed, you could say, was it not a disadvantage? Because at least if they end up in hell, they won't at least have the sin of rebelling against God in such an outward, flagrant way of breaching His covenant. Ah, but he says, wait a minute. Much every way. For to them was committed the oracles of God. That is, the Word of God. Friends, think of the advantages you have had, which many of this world have not had. Think of the advantages that our children have today and those who are presented for baptism. To be under the gospel of God. To be hearing the Word of God. To be prayed for the people of God. To be included within the church of God as those who are the Lord's children. What a privilege to hear that gospel and to be prayed for. What a privilege to have the sign and seal of the covenant, the Old Testament circumcision. And the New Testament baptism, what is it? But a rereading of the covenant which God makes with His people and their children. Assuring that God will be faithful. That He will be faithful to His promises. We mentioned last week, I think it was, of how sometimes there is a sign of someone's faithfulness. You can think of, say, a wedding ring as a pledge and token of faithfulness to keep wedding vows. You don't need a wedding ring, of course, for that, but if it was something that was given to you on that day, it's a sign and it's good use if you want to do that sort of thing. It's a pledge of love. And every time you look at that ring, it's a reminder to you, my wife, my husband pledged their love and their faithfulness to me. What is baptism? But a pledge of God's faithfulness and his love to his people. Friends, how many have lacked such privileges? How many have perished? How many in this island perished without the gospel and they never heard the gospel? How many throughout the world today do not have the gospel? Don't have God's word? The creation tells them there's a God, and they live in rebellion, and they worship creatures rather than the Creator. And they're going to a lost eternity. How many have lacked such privileges that you have? What are you doing with these privileges? As you have heard God's covenant read time and time again, the peace treaty announced, and the plea going forth, be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, have you embraced that covenant? How will you stand before the great God on the day of judgment? And he'll say to you, what did you do with those privileges? Those which you had since you were young, you weren't like many others who never had the opportunity to hear the truth. And what will you say? You'll be speechless. You'll have nothing to say because you've got no excuse. Nor with excuses. If you're honest, they're just rubbish. Fit to be put on the scrap heap. You've got no excuse not to comply with God's gracious offers of salvation through Christ. Friend, today, will you not come to him? Even as the gospel is presented to you in the washing of baptism, will you not come to him and embrace him as your Lord and King? Then treasure this privilege. There are many places which had the gospel where there is now a famine of the hearing of the word. Treasure the privileges which are yours. To be brought up in a place where the gospel is well known, where there are many believers. You can hardly walk the street without you meet a believer who will encourage you in the ways of God. What a gracious privilege. Make good use of those privileges, because you're going to have to give an account of them one day. It's a privilege. The privilege of the honour of being viewed within the Church of God. An opportunity to be under the gospel of God. And yes, a right to the promises of God. Had not the covenant of grace many promises? It promises life and salvation in Christ. It promises pardon, the cleansing of guilt. It promises peace with God. It promises the bountiful provision of God's grace. All things which are needed to live this life for him. It promises the protection of the great King. And it promises the heavenly kingdom in glory itself. Perhaps you could summarize it in this way. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If you read scripture, friends, you'll find that that's the constant summary of God's covenant promise to his people. Heaven, how can it be summed up? You read to the end of the book of Revelation, I will be their God and will be among them. And they shall be my people. Well, if God's my God, what more do I need? When I think of who he is, when I think of what he has promised, He is my God. I'm in relationship with Him. It is true, God is God of the universe. And in that sense, each one of us belong to Him, and every nation belongs to Him. But for those who are in covenant with Him, He says they're mine in a special way. Perhaps we could illustrate it like this. It's something the children will understand. The children have got many toys. Probably their beds are covered in soft toys. At least they were at one time. Teddies and things like that. But I'm sure there's one special teddy or toy that they have. It's got to be there at bedtime. There's problems if it's missing. They've got many toys, but that's a special toy. Or maybe you're encouraging your child to give some toys to a charity. There's certain they'll gladly part with, but there's one or two there's no way they'll give away. Or you might have an ornament that in one level you'd be glad to be rid of. But you give away another ornament rather than that one because it's special, there's sentimental value. That's what it means. They're mine in a special way. What a privilege. God's promises belong to us and to our children so long as we keep covenant with Him. You see, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. So let's notice thirdly, God's covenant lays demands on believers and their children. Friends, it lays demands on us, doesn't it? What are we to do? Well, we're to train up our children and pray for them. Because we want them to keep covenant with God. It's interesting to notice how Abraham was commended. In chapter 18 of Genesis at verse 19, God says, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring up in Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And notice what it says there. He will command. Friends, command your children and your children's children to walk in the way of the Lord. Don't be indifferent. Here's this duty you have, to command them. You don't just advise them and say, I don't think you should be doing that. You say, don't do it. The God of heaven commands you to walk in His ways. Here is how the commandments apply in this situation in your life. Where you go, how you live, what you wear. You're the Lord's children. And therefore, this is how the Lord's children are to behave and to live in this world. You command them to obey the covenant of grace. Friends, is it the case that so often we view our children almost as little rebels who are bound to go astray and rebel for long enough and eventually come back? Such is not biblical. They are the Lord's children and to be brought up for the Lord, and you're to command them and indeed expect them to keep covenant with God. Speak of sermons to them. It will help yourself as well as helping them. Explain the things which will be too hard for them. Explain God's word to them. At worship, don't just be content in reading the portion of God's word for the day. Take time to explain it. You're wanting them to grow up in the faith, to understand the truth. Live a godly life before them.
Be an example to them. Keep God's covenant and obey his commands. And when you see you've failed in the past, plead God's covenant faithfulness. Remember, he has made an everlasting covenant, order than all things ensure. That's your hope, that's your delight. Grieve over past breaches. Perhaps you've not been a very good Christian parent, because you yourself weren't really that interested in God's covenant. Well, make up for it now. Make up for it now. And plead with God to restore the years, the locusts of Eden, the wasted years, and to bless your children and your children's children. Let God's covenant faithfulness encourage you to be faithful. And be faithful in bringing them up, training them up in the ways of God, and look to God to bless them, to put out His Spirit upon our seed, His blessing upon our offspring. For that's what they need. What demands are laid upon our children? Upon our young folk here. And indeed upon all of us, in a sense, because at one stage we were all covenant children. Remember the danger of presumption. The danger of presuming and brought up within the church all is well. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly. He is a Jew who is one inwardly. Circumcision at the end of the day wasn't a physical thing. It had to be a spiritual thing. Baptism. It needs to be a spiritual reality. Remember Jacob and Esau. Jacob was faithful. Esau was not. You see, God's promises are only for covenant keepers. And unless you young ones keep covenant with him and embrace that covenant for yourself, then those promises shall not be yours. And one day the great king will come and say, but you rebelled. And you turned away from my covenant. What an awful day that will be. Be faithful to him and delight in those covenant promises. And see that as your parents try and instruct you in the ways of God, as they try and impress upon you how the Ten Commandments apply in your life, they are doing so. Because that is the way the great covenant king says his children are to live. You see how we need to improve our baptism? We need to make use of it. We need to embrace God's covenant for ourselves. That's what you need to do, children. To embrace God's covenant personally. And those of you who have grown up, what privileges you've had. But are you still without Christ? See that, well, there's a sense in which you're in breach of that covenant, and therefore in grave danger. The great covenant king comes and preaches to you and says, close with that covenant and I will be yours. Be in reality in your soul what there is outwardly. Remember, baptism will be a witness against you if you remain without Christ. Oh, what a wonderful peace treaty God makes with his people. And he extends it to our children and to our children's children. Make sure you comply with that covenant for yourself, that you might enjoy the peace that it gives. And pray that your children might know the blessings of the covenant also. May he bless his word. Let us pray.